winter programs are going to include adult basketball, adult indoor soccer, teen night at the community center, kids on the move, a soccer clinic, Twin Lights sports camp, basketball clinic, senior citizen programs, and the Monmouth County 4-H programs. Just a couple of things that he needs by way of DPW, and they're probably already on Bruce's list. At the skate park, he needs DPW needs to mount plywood and plexiglass and install for the new sign. And then also he needs replacement pieces of the playground have been delivered and scheduled for their installation, I believe. And he needs the split rails put back on Huddy Park.
Good. Done.
And all are they done?
Yes.
Okay. And also the Cabooshan Park Restoration Committee met in late September. We'll be going over improvements that we can make to the park for the next upcoming spring with the money that was fundraised. So Tim helped, been a big help with that. And that's it.
Really not from our department, but on the subject of recreation, I did have the opportunity to participate in the Henry Hudson Regional School Annual Walkathon, and it was along the Henry Hudson Trail. I did walk all the way to Atlantic Islands and all the way back. And I know for some of you that's not significant, but for sedentary people like myself, it's a big deal. It was a great way to raise money, and I'm leaning toward including that in the wellness campaign that we're working on developing, so maybe you can assist me with coming up with something that might work for involving all ages.
That's no problem.
Okay. All right, the HPP. Is there someone here from the HPP that wants to make a report? Okay. I guess we'll pass on that. Public relations, back to you, Rebecca.
Basically, we'll just start gearing up for the next newsletter that should, you know, hopefully be after the first of the year, after we get through the holidays and stuff like that.
Okay.
I hope that each one gets a little better and more input from everybody, and we'll get there little by little.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe we could begin to encourage some of the departments here in the borough who might be involved with activities to consider putting together draft press releases. Sometimes a one paragraph is enough. And since it's a public relations committee, in addition to the newsletter, we might be able to keep the community aware of what's ongoing on a weekly or a monthly basis. I don't think I'm asking for too much. We'll see. You know, it might be writing skills that people don't use on a daily basis, but, you know, it might also give us content that we might be able to promote on the website in some way. And again, that's probably a bigger job than just the press release.
Right, right. You can look into that.
Yeah, I enjoy sharing those ideas with you.
Okay.
Next is the Environmental and Shade Tree Commission. So I think that's you, Mr. Francis.
Environmental Commission is hard at work on responding to the Shadow 1 application.
I'll be here.
Also, there's a letter you received. There are openings on the Environmental Committee.
Yes, I did receive something in my box. I think Ms. Cummins also has it,
right.
From Mr. Zalecki with regard to some who I think may be creating vacancies. Yes.
So at this point, there are at least two openings for people on the Environmental Committee. Anyone wishing, interested in serving, meets once a month. Please submit a letter of a request. They call a CV, not a resume necessarily, but a statement of interest, and we'll move forward with that.
And you could put it on the front board and throw it on the website.
And those are appropriate actions.
The Shade Tree Committee has not met, although the commissioner. At this point, I'm up to date on the permits. We're okay with permits, but the Shade Tree Commission itself has not met, and we'll have to talk about how we're going to handle that go forward.
Yeah,
to me,
really,
it's too much on my plate, and so I open it up for discussion.
Okay. I had hoped the Shade Tree Commission might be a little bit more active with the slope stabilization, for sure, because I know there was a steep slope ordinance that they had some input on, and I was led to believe that there may be some specific plantings that beneficial to properties that contain steep slopes, whether it be around the perimeter, whether it be within, to help with stabilization. And I thought perhaps getting an expert who is aware of what those plantings are and perhaps putting together a public notice of some sort to go out with tax bills might be a good procedure.
But all of that work is already done in the ordinance. And there's a list of native species, you know.
Okay.
My point of view, I thought it would make sense to combine the shade tree and the environmental. The problem is, at this point, the Environmental Commission chairman, he doesn't feel that way.
I don't agree. I think the shade tree commission has an enforcement mechanism that the Environmental Commission won't. The Environmental Commission is an advisory commission. The shade tree commission actually does have an enforcement mechanism with the permits and whatnot.
So
I think combining them is probably not a good idea.
So at this point, I am open to suggestions how to move forward. I personally have a little bit of a plate to run that, the Shade Tree Commission, but the commissioner part is pretty straightforward. It doesn't take much time, so I'm very, very comfortable continuing with that part of it.
Okay,
but,
we'll give
but the Shade Tree Commission itself, I have my hands full with the environmental and everything else that we're dealing with.
Okay. All right. So we'll all give it some thought, I suppose, right? Okay. Next would be administration. I know, Mr. Hillen, you've made some comments, but do you have any others?
A couple more, Mayor, if I could. The, from the bridge work, all indications that we have from DOT and JH Reed is that the span is supposed to be open by the end of the month, by 31 October. The span is supposed to be open, so we'll see. I know we had a couple of calls about some weekend work going on.
Yes,
and,
at we will bring time that up, in the morning,
yes,
I think.
We will bring that up with DOT tomorrow morning. I know he's under a lot of pressure to get it done, but we will bring that up tomorrow
morning. I do think that, you know, we need to underscore with regard to that project, that their pressure to get it done should not result in inappropriate use of our streets and private property, and it should not result in curb cuts not existing where they should, and it should not negatively impact the residents by violating our noise ordinance. And, you know, they can work very diligently within the time frames that they're supposed to, and they can be as aggressive as they want to, but they need to stay within the agreement that they have with the borough, because we are a governmental entity and they are working in our country. But I think we've said that in several bridge meetings as well.
The purchasing agent is working on a purchase of gasoline and diesel for the next 2 years, so I think it's a pretty good time to be doing that.
I think you're right about that. Just have them check the co-op bid with the county to make sure that our deal is better than that one. I think they are doing a better job of identifying those co-op bids so that they're easily identifiable. If he has trouble, there's a contact with the county that can help.
We continue to work with Mike Johnson and Mike, the purchasing agent, in regards to a new DPW dump truck, too. We're trying to get the specs together to go ahead.
Okay.
That award to us. And the borough said goodbye to two employees last month with over 50 years of dedicated service. Thanks to everyone that made were part of that goodbye, to both Nana and Ed Booty O'Neill. I think they appreciated what we did for them on their way out. So best of wishes, best of luck to both of them. Thank you, ma'am.
Their contributions are not unnoticed, and I feel strongly that they left a piece of themselves here, and that will remain evident as we go forward. I just want to make one comment under administration about the employees of the borough and how responsive they've been to budget issues that are ongoing in the borough, and I'm happy to say that there have been many suggestions by borough employees in how we can do things effectively with less cost to the taxpayers, and I'm very proud results of some of those suggestions, and it doesn't stop. It's continuous. So I think you should be proud of the people that work for you. Clerk's office.
Okay, in the month of September, packets were mailed for two council meetings and two board meetings. 1 minutes were typed for one council meeting and one board meeting. Registrar's office issued 5 marriage licenses, 1 civil union, and 11 certified vital records. Two dog licenses, 4 cat licenses were issued. 2 pending mercantile licenses were just recently issued. And the clerk's office renewed 2 existing licenses. Liquor licenses are mostly all approved. There is just 1 that's pending, which hopefully will be resolved in the next month. 13 resolutions were processed, 9 ordinances were. And that's it.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for the clerk? That leaves us, last but not least, the Library Committee.
Okay, not too much news. We agreed that we would both spend the fundraising situation until after the new year when we have a better idea on where we could place this library.
Right.
But I have some very good news. We have moved into the third application fundraising round with the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation. This is pretty good news. It puts us in very good company. It means that we've, it's a 4-step process where in step 3, hundreds of other groups have been eliminated already. I think there are maybe 200 now left. So just to the fact that we're at this point, that they're accepting our grant writing. And that's really about it for this month.
Okay, thank you very much. I am instructed by the clerk's office, and I guess it's information received from Monmouth County, that we will need the old firehouse bay for conduction of elections this season. So we will not be able to further discuss. I don't know that whether we have a consensus to spend any money, but if there's donated and approved, it may be a possibility. We will need to discuss it further here. All right, we are now on to other business. First item is the breast cancer walk donation.
Mayor Little, we received a letter from Lorraine Nolan requesting the annual donation. I guess the borough does an annual sponsorship of $150 for the breast cancer walk.
And this is American Cancer Society?
Yes. So what I'm looking for authorization to prepare a purchase requisition to do the annual donation of $150.
And what's the feeling at the table?
I make a motion.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I think it's for their ad booklet.
I think you're right.
Aye.
Okay. The next is the Girl Scout Veterans Dinner donation.
The Girl Scouts are having a dinner in recognition of Veterans Day on November 11th, and they are seeking donations from the council in the amount of $200.
Okay, what's the feeling on that at the table?
I make it.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Next is the first aid clothing allowance.
Mr. Hillman?
Mayor, I've got a written request from the first aid asking that their clothing allowance be increased by $100.
When was the last time we increased it?
I understand it's been like that for many years.
Yeah,
is that correct,
the same.
Mr. Gaza?
What is it set at now?
$100 is set at. And they
want
to add
one more.
They want another $100.
They want to go up to $200.
Okay, what's the feeling at the table with regard to this?
So
moved. Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Mr. Grancy?
Just back away. I'm sorry. Is it inappropriate?
Well, at this point, we have a motion and a second.
Do you have a point of order?
Point of order, do we...
You want to say something?
Just a point of order.
Can we say discussion?
Yeah.
Discussion.
Just one condition at this point, and I don't know how they do this at this point. These have to be active members, and I'm not sure.
They're active members, Chris, but I don't agree on giving them...
I'm sorry?
I don't agree on giving them... $100 increase. I agree on giving them a $50 increase. You know?
I mean, that would then keep them.
Huh?
That would keep
We just took an increase last year for the first time in I think around 29 years.
I back away at this point.
I
withdraw my second.
Is there a motion to amend the motion?
I'll make it 150.
Okay, is there a second to the amended motion?
I second it.
Okay, any discussion at this time on the amended motion?
No more.
So the motion will be to set the clothing allowance at $150.
Correct.
And that's in line with the fire department.
A lot of money,
$200. I think it's appropriate for roll call, please.
Mr. Frazier?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mr. Keough?
Yes.
Mr. Bansky?
Yes.
Mayor Little?
Yes. The next is, I believe, Mr. Francie, this is yours. Yes, New Jersey?
Yes, it is.
State Police, is it? Weight reduction?
Yes.
Did I say that correct?
There have been several requests from Seabright citizens and from Highlands citizens about excessive wakes on the river, and it's exasperated by the construction zones that are going on by the bridge. The channel is narrower, boats aren't slowing down. State Police got involved, the Marine Police, and at this point they've investigated the situation, and they've made some recommendations to expand the no-wake zone to be the entire width of the river versus just the channel, which eliminates this. I mean, we all see it, that these boats coming along the south, the Sandy Hook shore at higher speed compared to be in the channel. So at this point, I'm recommending that the council signs on to gives a resolution of encouragement to the New Jersey State Police to proceed. They have a meeting November 4th where they will discuss it in, and I'm not sure what is the
group. How far, Chris? How far is that going to run?
It's going at this point. It's going their documentation with this letter talks about wind and sea stopping, and I'm suggesting we move it to Sandy Hook Bay Marina and Skeleton Island.
Yeah, okay.
Line running across.
I agree.
So that's the modification to the Seabright ordinance that I'd like to propose.
I agree too. That's
I don't know if it's an ordinance. I think it's a resolution.
It is. It's a resolution.
Okay, so what shall we do, Mr. Arnett? Shall we draft something for next? Can we do the resolution this evening?
No.
There's an amendment to it.
Yeah,
so
you can put it on for next.
Next meeting. Can we please place it on the agenda for next meeting? Is there anyone here that has a negative feeling toward the resolution that they wish to voice now? I don't have a negative.
I'm all for it.
This is, yeah, okay. Necessary.
Needed.
All right, so it looks like that will be on the agenda. Okay. Mr. Arnett, you'll assist the clerk in drafting, or you'll draft for the clerk? Or
I am at her disposal.
That's a little broad. Okay. I'm in rear form this evening. Number 5, discussion ready. Resolution endorsing the Green Acres Water Supply and Floodplain Protection and Farmland and Historic Preservation Fund Act of 2009-201D. Okay, who's presenting on this one?
This is a letter we received from the Environmental Commission.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. Okay.
We need to move on this. This folds the current new maps, FEMA, that were introduced in September, end of September, into our ordinance by reference. And there were two comments made by the zoning chairman, and I've directed, I've asked that Mr. Lubner to review the ordinance and to incorporate Mr. Mullen's comments at this point, which are become. They're very local. It involves the ordinance as it exists now removes the power for the zoning board to grant floodplain review, and we wouldn't want that because residential goes to the zoning board, not to the planning board. And
so that would come for the recommendations from the planning board.
Correct. And the definition of the lowest floor level is inconsistent with our existing definition, so as to marry them.
And we definitely need to respect those definitions.
Correct.
FEMA, the community rating system, requires that we
correct.
comply with all of this, so it's very important. I'm glad that you and Mr. Mullen are taking care of that. Okay, so what's the next action item with regard to this?
I think we craft an ordinance. Well, I don't know where we are with the time frames, Carolyn.
But we are set to, introduce public hearing and adoption on the 21st.
Well,
the planning board is set to review it and provide a resolution tomorrow night.
Okay, so so the timing is okay to get the Peter Mullen's comments.
It might require an extra advertisement after the planning board's recommendation.
It depends on what the planning board's recommendation is. We get the formal recommendation from the planning board, not to suggest that Mr. Mullen's, that his comments are not going to be fully accepted by everybody at the board. When the board's report comes back of the ordinance, that's when we'll take action.
All right, but we need to not have this 45-day issue, right? I mean, we need to be prompt on our end, so.
Well, the only thing we can do, the statutory construct is such that we introduce the ordinance and then we send it over to them. They then have a parameter of time within which to respond, which apparently they're going to do quite quickly, and they're going to give that information back to us tomorrow.
I'm hoping tomorrow night the attorney has a generic resolution which he will amend at the table.
Okay.
So we have...
And we have to wait. We're a slave to that at this point in time. Once we get that back, then we can take whatever next action we need to take, which will be either to make a non-substantive change to it that will allow us to have the public hearing and final adoption, or make a change to it and then react.
Who would make the judgment that it was substantive or not?
Mr. Arnett.
Mr. Arnett.
Sounds good.
Works for me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so that concludes discussion on number 5, I think. Am I right? Okay. So number 6 is discussion regarding change of the October 21st meeting date. This is at the request of Councilwoman King.
For the last 6 years, we've been doing this blue mass up at St. Agnes, and it's basically church ceremony for all the emergency services through Middletown, Atlantic, and Highlands. I've participated all the 6 years. However, it's always the third Wednesday in October. And the committee would really like to see our mayor and council there.
In addition to our first aid squad, our fire department.
Yeah. Who's already,
you guys already go.
We're already there. So they would like to see the mayor and council, because the mayor and council of Atlantic and Middletown are also there. So if we could change the meeting, it would be appreciated. If it's not the feel, then I won't be here.
Okay. Well, I'm in agreement with that. Is there anyone at the table who's not in agreement? Or is there anyone else who is in agreement?
I have a question. Does it count as my Sunday obligation?
Yeah, I'll write you a note.
You're going to ask the priest tonight.
You've got to get a different judge on that one.
Okay.
Gentlemen, any comments on this?
Yeah, change.
Okay. Thursday is okay. You very
Thursday,
right there.
You want to change it to Thursday, the next day, Thursday, the 22nd.
Correct.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
Great. So do we need a motion? Or?
Yes.
Motion, please.
I'll second. Or motion.
You're moving? I'll second.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's sufficient. Yeah. Yes?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next council meeting will be October 22nd, a Thursday, and not October 21st, and of course it will be advertised. All right, we're on to public portion. I'll meet the list. First name on the list is George Ruth of 333 Shore Drive.
Mayor, Council, thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is George Ruth. I live at 333 Shore Drive, and I am a homeowner. There's a lot of discussion tonight on the rental problem and the relocation of that resident. I am a firm believer that we as the taxpayers should not be responsible to pay for anybody's relocation or rent due to the landlord's failure to take care of his own problems. I don't believe that any of us would have that kind of money to put out of pocket to pay for somebody else's rent. And I think it's honestly, no disrespect to the council, disgraceful that we are paying for this guy's rent to take care of his landlord's problems. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. For the record, we're We paid $2,875 for the securing of a location. We are not paying rent. The action was taken as a result of the construction code officials' removal of the tenant, and therefore they're displaced persons. I think that that's significant. Okay. Diane Kerner is the next on the list. There's no address here.
287
Okay. I'll write it down. Great.
I just wanted to let everyone know that at the Oktoberfest, a 50-50 in Iraqel was to be taking place and supervised by Carlos Apollo Braswell. I have two separate stories, one regarding the 50-50, and I'll just read what I have here. It was my experience at the Oktoberfest that a 50-50 was supposed to be drawn at 8 p.m. before the start of the fireworks. The fireworks had a slightly delayed start time, and there still had not been an announcement of a 50-50 winner. Due to a slight fire that was being put out on Sandy Hook, a small crowd began to gather around the 50-50 table. We were told by Carol Bucco, the woman selling the tickets at the table, that a winner was already chosen. When a winning number could not be produced, nor any record that the drawing officially took place, people got angry. Carla said that there was a winner. It was Doug Lentz, and he donated the money back. And I just wanted to know if there were rules regarding affiliates of the business partnership buying their own raffle tickets and then winning. But anyway, there was never an announcement. Said when asked again, they said they called it during the fireworks, which made no sense at all. People began to demand their money back, and this went on for a good 10 minutes. That's when Carla approached the table, reached into a money box, pulled out a wad of cash, and began picking tickets unannounced to the remaining ticket holding public. Made no sense at all because they had microphones via the band, and the fireworks were still scheduled to resume for the finale. She began to pull tickets out until someone in that small crowd won the 50-50. I was appalled and began to question the raffle that was to be auctioned off. Now this raffle, what I can recall that was in the basket, was a night at the Seascape Manor, dinner at Wind and Sea, a facial at Transcendent Spa, among other things. The woman who was selling the raffle tickets told us that they were going to be going off at 8 o'clock as well. I began to question Carla about the drawing of the raffle. She said, I don't know who would have told you that the winner would be chosen tonight because I pull it in my office and draw it there because there's a photo. And I said to her, a photo of you picking the winner? I just want to point out that the ticket was a white ticket, a keep this coupon ticket, not an off-premise ticket, which was illegal for her to even say that she was going to be pulling that raffle into her office the next day. Had to go off that night. I then began to justifiably question her practices, got aggravated, and walked away. I was at the corner of Shrewsbury Avenue and Bay Avenue when she chased me across Veterans Park to show me a winning ticket. She came at me with her ticket in hand, pointing in my face, saying, is this you? Is this you? I said, no, but that's not the point. What she didn't really realize was that when I looked at this ticket, I memorized everything on it. Gave her all of Sunday night, which is when she was supposed to contact this winner. Gave her all of Monday. Contacted the winner myself Monday night. Spoke to him on my way over here around 8:30. Still had not been contacted by the Lions Business Partnership as a winner. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, well, thank you for those comments. Mr. Arnett, is there action by this table possible with regard to this, or is it a state issue?
Well, you are the facilitator. Yeah, you're the facilitator for the license, absolutely. But there are some regulations, and the governing body certainly can, through the clerk, determine whether or not the state requirements were complied with. You're the one who... This governing body are the ones that issues the license. And
so I guess, Madam Clerk, you'll have to contact
Legalized Stands a Chance.
Yes.
Do whatever you have to do.
In Trenton.
But because when we draw the firemen take a raffle out, a 50-50 raffle, our chairman is Kevin O'Donnell. He keeps all records, all account of the volunteer fire company. And he gives us sheets. Each drawing we do, we got to take your name, the number of the ticket, the start and number of the roll, and everything, and write it down on this sheet, and the amount that we drew, got from all the tickets, then half of the 50-50 amount with your name, and send that to Trenton.
Yes, you have to do a follow-up report of
Right. We got to follow up, and our guy that runs our 50-50 is very vocal to us all every time we run one. Make sure you get the name, the number, the amount of the money that you won, and how much did you give the person to. You know, because I'm in charge of it, I'm responsible, and I got to question it if we get audited by Trenton, you know. So it should be a serious thing, you know.
It is a serious thing.
I don't think it's something that could be held lightly, as the word partnership is then sticking us with the other half.
I understand. It is what it is.
Now the young lady here saying the prizes didn't even get, you know, called from the person that won the prizes. You know?
I'd just like to say as well that a gentleman standing there said that same exact prize was at Bike Week a few weeks earlier, and she said the same thing. The prize all came into my office, and I would choose the winner. And the fact that she said the photos of the winner is posted on her website, I've extensively checked that website. There are no photos, past or present, of any winner ever. So I don't know what she was referring to.
But that 50-50 is offered for that day, and that day only. You know, you can't go.
Right. Even as far as the raffle goes, I checked. I filed a formal complaint for legalized games of chance already. I sent them an email and I filed a formal complaint. And as far as tickets, they have to have an off premise, which is when, who, what, where, when, why. Everything has to state all of that in order to take that ticket or that prize off the premises.
So the clerk is going to follow through with Games of Chance and notify Ms. Braswell that there's been a complaint.
Yes.
And then I guess we will take appropriate action based on her response and whatever Legalized Games wants to do, they'll do with their complaint.
Now, do we do anything, Mayor, as a partnership of the bid? We gave them the license.
I think the license was issued by us to the Highlands Business Partnership. We now need to investigate this complaint.
I would say that
the statement on the record is a complaint.
Right. We should have the chief investigate it. He should put his detective on.
I think it goes
on
to the clerk's office.
Whatever you prefer to do, but all I was suggesting that since this is a complaint and we are the issuing authority,
right,
that the Legalized Games of Chance need to be contacted by the clerk's office. Now, if you choose to do some additional investigation because you think that there's something beyond a violation of the Legalized Games of Chance administrative regulations, that might be something you might want to refer over. I don't know that there's any adjudication yet of that. So
yeah,
maybe you want to check first with Legalized Games of Chance before anything else is done.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have guidance for you.
Billy.
They're staying the same raffles down at the bike.
Also, I wanted to just say, if the prize was over $400, which I believe on the front of it said it was a prize worth $500, they had to have had filed a permit through the state and the municipality.
Well, we did issue a raffle license for
No. In particular,
I think there were two separate.
Yeah, she would have needed two. One for the 50-50 and one for the
other. There were two of them.
Take a look at what we have. Contact Games of Chance. I think we're beating this. I think we need to do what we have to do. I think the Legalized Games of Chance will do their own action based on the complaint that's filed there, but I do think the borough needs to contact Legalized Games of Chance to determine what action we need to take.
Right.
Okay?
Mayor, could I ask for your email that you forwarded already to the Games of Chance? Could you forward that to either Carolyn or myself?
Is that the same one?
Yeah,
May. Then I printed it.
You got it. Bruce.
You have one. Here, I can send another.
I got one right here.
It's essentially the same exact information.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. The next is John, I think it's Staskowski.
My name is John Staskowski. I live at 193 Linden Avenue.
Thank you.
And I want to say something about the police explorers.
Oh.
My daughter's been there 4 years. And so there's no funding for them to send them to the academy. And even though this other trial part coming into effect, the kid's a bad kid, and these kids are good kids. And they get to the end,
structure it.
There's no any funding for them, right? I mean, she, put her time to the end.
Of the police explorers.
She's gonna move on to police explorers.
And now she would like to become an officer.
Right, there's no funding for them to work on that. So, she's gonna eventually move on, but the problem kid that she supported in the trailer court, what's wrong with the kids that are good?
I don't understand the connection between those two things.
Well, the kids.
Okay, let's see if we can clarify the matter with regard to the police explorer and the special officer situation. And if there's a need for action by the governing body, let's discuss that. And then we can deal with whatever connection the gentleman sees between prior discussion and this.
What he's referring to is when we spoke, it was about special officers class two. That's what he's referring to. He wanted to send his daughter wants to go to special school. And as I told him, as I discussed with our labor attorney and some rulings out of Belmar, we now have to pay people to go to Explorer Academy. We can't just send them and sponsor them. We're not allowed to at this point. That's what I think he's referring to.
All right. So you would need to hire someone before you could send them to school.
Is that what I'm hearing you say? Pay.
You'd pay for the schooling and you'd have to hire them at a salary?
Yeah, whereas in the past, we would sponsor certain people through.
So it sounds like it's a policy decision that we need to lobby for from another authority. Well, it seems to me that we're going to be limited by the size of our police force in how many people we can hire at any one given time. I agree with this gentleman that if someone has completed a police explorer's program and they now wish to go to... Okay, but I'm saying that I agree with this gentleman's opinion that if they've finished the police explorers program and they want to go on with their education in this direction, that they ought to have an opportunity to do that. Now, is that now being limited by?
That's being limited now by the decision from the state, whereas you're talking $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 to pay somebody to cap.
Okay.
As I explained to him, you know, what there are funding.
Is this state ruling have bearing on us? I mean, on every town?
It's bearing on every town. This is class two special officer. This isn't an extension of the Explorer program.
I understand that. No. Right. But
like I said, in the past, we would sponsor certain people through, kind of help them out. Not that we necessarily needed them. We went on the wrong time.
Right.
But now with a recent decision,
we picked up the cost of the school.
Yes. Now with a certain ruling.
What was that cost approximately?
Well, the academy itself is $354 and all something like that. Then you talk about psychologicals and physicals and so forth. You're talking another $1,000. Then you're talking about the cost of paying them to go now.
No, that's a separate issue. Just the cost of school. Less than $1,000.
No, a little over. About $1,300.
Okay.
$1,300 per police explorer, plus what would the salary cost be?
We have to pay them for every hour they were there.
At the school? And how many hours of school is it?
Well, right now we pay our explorers $15 an hour. You're talking about $4,000. Which with our class that we're going through now, pretty substantial.
I think it certainly bears some policy discussion. I think, Mr. Chiazza, you're on public safety, right?
Yep.
You want to get together and discuss things with the chief and mm-hmm. look for some grant funding or, I don't know, do some investigation on it.
Okay.
Because I do think if we have successful police explorers, that we should encourage them to continue on a career path.
Okay.
If we can do that.
I'll go in the other office.
You know, maybe there'd be some state money available. I don't know. Maybe our PBA wants to raise funds for the purpose.
Okay.
So I think that addresses that issue. Is that sufficient for you?
I was just wondering about it because you've already helped the problem. Kid has been in trouble, and I'm just trying to stick up for the kids. They're trying to do something right.
Right. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Tara Ryan, 17 Ocean Street.
Thank you. Tara Ryan, 17 Ocean Street. This past weekend, my family, along with many other families, was jolted awake I really know there's nothing that we can do. I know that there's really nothing that you can do. What are you going to give him a summons? But this is really terrible. I know that he's going to get this huge bonus for finishing within a certain time frame, but they now have totally disregarded the needs or anything about people who live here.
I see no reason why they shouldn't get a summons, because we know about it after the fact, and I think if it's discovered while it's ongoing, it should be made to stop.
Well, my husband and I had a discussion about it at 7:16 that morning, and I'm thinking, who are we going to call? What's going to happen? By the time that, you know, somebody would get down there and write out a summons, they can stop it. Most likely, I mean, I knew that there was nobody, you know, in town, and I didn't want to call any of you and wake you up at 7:15 in the morning, but it was really loud. Were you home?
It was Sunday. I just want to say that this is the first, I believe it's the first Sunday. They've been working Saturdays consistently, but this is a Sunday. And that's what
We need your name. I apologize.
I'm Laura Salka, S-A-L-K-A.
Because somebody's going to be transcribing.
I'm sorry, 1 Portland Road, number 21.
Okay, just for the record, Lori did not sign up, but she's speaking with
me.
Tara Ryan in Tara Ryan's time, so you know we're trying to.
I thought that it was Sunday. Tara didn't say that it was Sunday, so I want the record to reflect that the noise disturbance was on a Sunday.
And if you need somebody to be a witness or to make that complaint, I'll gladly do it. This was over the top.
I have no problem with enforcing borough ordinances against the construction activities, unless the law does not permit it. I think it should be done. I just feel that way.
Not that I expect satisfaction, but I think that they should at least.
Well, I think you should expect that our laws in the borough of Highlands will be followed. We may be a small town, but we are a governmental entity, and we need to be respected as such.
Right.
That's how I feel about that.
And my second point.
Execution.
Kind of piggybacks on this. There is no longer a detour sign at Miller Street. And when people, I know they say that everything's going to be set up and going in 10 days or something, but when people have to come through town and do a detour and go up Miller Street, if that's what they're looking for, there used to be a sign there, and there isn't one anymore. Now, I know where to go, but a lot of people, you know, when you come down under the bridge, when you're coming along Bay Avenue because you want to go in the other direction, people are lost, okay?
There is a sign at Veterans Park that says use Miller Street.
Right, but then when you get to Miller Street, the sign is this big.
Okay.
So bigger sign of Miller. Right, it doesn't even say Miller Street.
I got it. Detour here, we've got to have something.
Right.
Okay, I understand your point.
All right, that's it for tonight.
Well
thank
taken.
You.
All right, thank you very much for your comments. Next on the list is Lori Dibble, 32 Paradise Park.
Lori Dibble, 32 Paradise Park. I want to talk about the problems for the code enforcement officer and what happened in Paradise Park, the manufactured housing community, not the trailer park. Thank you.
Okay.
Ms. King, you said that the code enforcement officer issued 31 summons last
on his report for last month. That's what he had.
Okay, well, those 31. He issued 31 summons in Paradise Park. Half of those summons were issued to people who are dead, who don't live there. We feel like it was in retaliation to this whole incident coming out. He came out 2 days later and issued summons for grass that was 4 inches tall. These are not health and safety violations. Now, we came to court on Tuesday, and all those tickets, Mr. Bollerman came to court, and we came to court, the Homeowners Association, with our attorney, and those have all been put off to another point. We would like to meet with a code enforcement officer, with the administrator, or with whoever can resolve this, but that must have to go to court on this. This is ridiculous.
Okay. Once a summons is issued, I think it has to be addressed in court. I don't think it precludes discussion in between if the attorneys permit it. There's an attorney on one side, so I don't know if the homeowners association brought an attorney. I would presume a corporation has to have an attorney.
Well,
and that's because I just know that rule. Okay, so there's at least two attorneys. So if Mr. Arnett says it's okay to talk about the summonses, that's a possibility.
Well, it's not okay to talk about the summonses. It's okay to talk about the issue. The summonses, you talk to your prosecutor about that, not me. The summonses are issued by the law enforcement.
The code enforcement.
Okay, that's the judicial branch, if you will. And that's your prosecutor. Now, I don't think that what Ms. Dibble was talking about was, hey, let's talk about these tickets and fix these tickets. I think she wants to talk about the situation that gave rise to those tickets.
Which is administration, not summonses. Okay, I misunderstood. So
I
guess, Mr. Hilling, you need to...
I can do that, ma'am.
Because you're the administrator, and he works, I guess, under your supervision at some level, and
I
guess we'll have to facilitate it.
The code enforcement officer told me that he was told by someone who he would not disclose to write those tickets, to go there and write those tickets.
I really don't know what you're referring to.
Well, that's what he told me. And he also referred to the International Property Code Maintenance Handbook or something as being the source of what these tickets were about. And none of these tickets are specified, none of the tickets he wrote were specified in that code. And in that code, it says that you're to let people know that there's a problem, if there is indeed a problem, before you issue summons.
Okay, I think this needs to be handled in a meeting with the administrator, discussing your complaints and the actions by the code enforcer.
Okay,
I think that has to happen.
Okay. And then I have two other short points that relate to that.
Okay.
One is that I think it's disingenuous for the people in the council to sit up here and say that they didn't know about this problem before this became an emergency condition. I have gone to Mr. Hilling, I have gone to the code enforcement officer, and I've brought this to the attention of the council on many occasions that there are problems there, that there are homes being rented without COs, there's construction being done without permits, there are unlicensed contractors doing work, and that there are borough employees who run the park, who rent homes without following proper landlord procedures. Okay, so I'm very upset that once the council, or once the administration becomes aware of this and basically gets caught in this situation, that then they retaliate against the homeowners in that community.
Okay, and it needs to be investigated via administration. Your complaint will be taken very seriously. The perception that it is a retaliation needs to be investigated. I think the best manner in which to do that is through administration. The employment circumstance that you have referenced has been discussed with the administrator. There has been discussion with an employee. I don't know that we can discuss that any further without a Rice notice, because it has to do with job performance on borough time as well.
But I think Mr. Hilling will confirm I've come to him many times with my problems with this situation, and even to the chief of police.
You have, but it's what you told me. You said that it's not a police matter,
right?
So we can't get involved with it.
Okay, if this is indeed not an isolated incident, then it needs to be addressed immediately. And I'm not talking about property maintenance summonses. I think, Mr. Hilling, you're going to need to take some serious action relative to determining which units have COs, who they're issued to, who's living in those. We have a landlord-tenant. We're supposed to know who's living in every rented unit in this town. I mean, this is a very important issue that's being raised, and I think it needs to be very thoroughly addressed.
Lori, how many people own them trailers down there?
Right now, there are 32 homeowners.
32? And how many trailers are down there?
Well, how many manufactured homes?
Whatever you want to say. Right. How many's down there?
How many are
when you pull over that first speed bump?
How many are occupied? There's about 51 units there, but several of them have been unoccupied.
right? That's over on the left-hand side.
Well, okay. One's on the left, one's on the right.
Okay.
There are about 17 homes that have been acquired by the landlord, and a certain number of them have been leased out, mostly to relatives of the...
Yeah, I want this checked into, please.
Well, I asked you a couple weeks.
Okay.
I don't want to get it, but there's a number of them that have been leased.
It's public portion. I'm going to let Ms. Dibble finish her statement, but I think the matter needs to be looked into in a much more formal way, and it needs to be done during business hours for the borough.
We welcome it. We are not happy with the situation. It's caused us a lot of discomfort. We don't like to see the community that we have there, you know, go through these kind of things. So we're happy to help you in any way that we can.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look forward to this getting addressed quickly before I have another situation.
I asked a couple weeks ago to give me something in writing. Were you working on that?
I was also told that somebody will come to talk to me about that. So I'll put it in writing to you.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Okay. The next person on the list is Donald Mandrot of 268 Bayside Drive.
On this Veterans Day program, that's what the Girl Scouts donation is for. They're going to supply the veterans, men from the American Legion and VFW, to a buffet dinner down at the rec building. And then after that, the VFW is going to run a service at the Doughboy down at the VFW on November the 11th. And we're going to give out some plaques of appreciation to the people that.
Okay. I think that's a very nice nice action on the part of the Girl Scouts. I've been at some services at the Doughboy over the last year or so.
Yeah, well, the Girl Scouts are going to help the VFW. We're sending some active kids over to Afghanistan for Christmas, and they're working with us with cards and stuff.
Yeah, that's also wonderful.
Because we have one fellow down now that O'Neill is over there,
yep.
And we have another fellow being sent over.
Okay.
So we're sending directly to them.
Okay, very good. Next on the list is Roberta McEntee of 55 B Fifth Street.
Yes, I'm Roberta McEntee. I have no big issue. I just want to make a statement because I think it's important. Whoever reads the Atlantic Highlands Herald knows that supposedly a gentleman, John Bentham, who is an idiot, not a gentleman, put in an article about me that was degrading, said that I'm just a mean old lady, has done nothing, and I just want to get my way with the people in Highlands. This is so far from the truth. Most of these people on the council, including the mayor, quite a few of you people here, know me better. I go volunteer for everything that's going, and my heart is for Highlands. However, I got so many calls after it. How are you letting him get in the way with this? I said, I will not answer it. I will not come down to his level, but I would like it in the minutes. Because Alan Dean, who is the editor and administrator of the Atlantic Herald, had pulled out the original letter I sent 5 years ago for the town. It seems that at the public meeting I said, I wish we would get involved in merging somehow or other for the schools. We need it. The overhead with all of those three schools that we could have here could be cut down and our taxes would be lowered as a result. That's all I wrote. I never followed up. I did follow up here and say, has anything been done? Are we going to do anything? But I didn't look to be putting it in the paper. And being thought it was important because now it's coming up in all of the towns and cities of New Jersey. we gave you a podcast this week in case Adam Dean decides to pull out another history. He'll pull out my statement this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment. We thank you much with your volunteer work here in the borough, even today, and especially the help that you did in the beginning with the grease traps, which we do not hold a candle to the work that you've done in that department. And as Ms. McAtee makes her statement, I'm reminded we need to get on that in the future.
Sure.
Okay. Next on the list is Robin Schaefer of Two Private Road. Well, I think I'm safe in talking about something that was on the agenda this evening. I think the PMK contract was approved. As part of it, am I correct that that's an agenda item here?
Yeah.
Yep, and that relates to Two Private Road, does it not?
Yep.
So there was some action taken this evening. Okay. That was authorizing an engineering firm to continue some work.
Yes.
Okay, so we are still moving forward on it. I'm hoping that they will complete that work in a short period of time, and pending approval by the attorney, we should be able to have something complete.
By the council and then the attorney.
By the council
and
the attorney.
And I know a few months ago, I don't know exactly, but there was an open space committee appointed. I don't know if that's a committee that would ever report as open space committee. Have they met?
Yeah, I know that there were people who expressed interest and were appointed to the committee.
We just had our first meeting on Monday.
You did, actually.
There's four people. I believe there's two vacancies still.
Yeah, so if there are people interested.
There are still vacancies. It was posted. We have four people apply, so we currently have four people on the board if anybody's interested. Our first meeting was Monday, and it was just kind of like a general meet and greet, go over the open space program, talk about the existing projects that are on the list. We are going to meet again next month with Tim Hill, who has the best knowledge of the whole project and program and how it works. And then once we meet with him, we're going to just focus on different projects, and Two Private Road is definitely at the top of it.
Okay. All right. Next on the list is Barney Fugue, 50 Valley Street.
Barney Fugue, 50 Valley Street. On these committee reports, are people supposed to, if the committee... somebody's not representing the committee, do they send a report in every month to the borough clerk or anything?
The reports that are issued by borough departments have been submitted in writing at my request. I don't receive written reports from other committees that are not employed here. In other words, the Environmental Commission does not necessarily issue a written report. The Library Committee sometimes does, sometimes doesn't. The HBP traditionally comes in and speaks, and it's become part of the record in that way. I prefer in administration and other departments within the borough to have a written report so that the people of the borough can become aware of how their tax dollars are being spent, what actions are being taken on an ongoing basis, day-to-day operations for you. So that's something that I requested.
Well, I've noticed the last couple months, even since Clam Festival, the HBP has not made any reports to the citizens of the town. Mm-hmm. And I just think they should. So if we're going to sponsor them, they need to at least have the courtesy to report back, say it was good, it was bad, it was indifferent.
They only come when it's favored to her and her committee. She didn't show up from October until we were going to get rid of the garbage. Then she brings her people. Then something else, she brings them. After that, she don't want nothing to do with nobody.
Well, then I think it should be noted that it's a committee that we, as taxpayers, pay for, and they don't receive.
Same thing with the press. You don't see her here. If Carla was here, the press would be here.
And the other thing was...
All right, at this point, if Mr.
With the thing with the landlords and not having a CO, as a landlord myself, I had to register as a landlord. I had to pay a fee of $400 to be a landlord. And it's supposed to be, every landlord is supposed to pay this and register their people. that they
you're
have
supposed
rights
to know every
and if
time
they're not,
that lives
they should,
in this town.
And I believe in that form it says that there's ordinance, this is by ordinance, and that there's fines associated if, and it's not just this case, it's anybody.
Absolutely.
And there's also at the end of it, if you read it, if you're a habitual offender, you have the right to revoke his license as landlord. That's what we ought to start looking to, instead of going down there and every time somebody moves out and then you load up our streets with garbage and we have to send the guy down there to give you a $50 ticket and tell you to get rid of it. And what about the third time they should say, that's enough for you?
Correct.
But enough is enough with these guys.
The other thing too is, it's come to my attention, I was wondering, who does the code enforcement officer work for? Who was his boss?
I believe the code enforcer reports under the administrator. There are certain functions that the code enforcer provides that are of an enforcement nature and therefore not supervised by administration, because he's an enforcement authority, somewhat like the police department is. Same with the construction official. When it comes to administrative day-to-day operation of the department, even record keeping is part of the enforcement, it's an overlapping situation. I believe the issues that have been raised here tonight can be addressed through administration to a point, because his behavior on the job is part of administration. There are rules and regulations for what he is authorized to do and what he is required to do, and his compliance with that can be reviewed by administration.
But this is kind of like, but who is the enforcement? Is it our federal police department?
No,
is it the county?
It's the code enforcer.
Is that
the code enforcer under state legislation, or the construction official under state legislation? Just like the police department under state motor vehicle laws.
Okay, and what
that's how it works.
And what department of corrections is that, or public safety?
I believe, see, now we're getting to a point
DCA.
Where I'm not sure.
DCA.
It might be DCA.
It's DCA.
Okay,
DCA,
then it's DCA.
Okay.
They've been involved here.
Okay, because nobody knows.
Believe
the
me.
Only reason I bring it up is because nobody knows who his two employers were. That's all.
DCA
yeah.
revoked his license.
Well, DCA has been intricately involved in what went on here. They know what went on here. The other issues may need to be brought to that person's attention. I think we should start with administration, because as a borough council, I think we need to be sure that our employees are doing their jobs. Okay, with regard to the reports, would you please reach out to the HBP and let them know that we want a report every month from them in the same way from every other committee? If there is a committee that did not provide a report this evening, in addition to that, would you please send the same notice?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, that's the last person that's on the list. I can entertain a motion to adjourn.
Aye.
Second.
So moved.